Well, please do, I was going to say, please do sit down, but you're already sitting down. I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, it is wonderful to be here, isn't it, celebrating Christmas. Christmas is always one of my favourite times of the year. Who is it who used to sing, What a Wonderful Time of the Year? Who's it first sang that in the early 60s? Well, this is a quiz here tonight. Is it Andy Williams? Anyway, I always kind of think that's a lovely kind of song, isn't it? And for many of us, Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. But of course, that's not true of everybody, unfortunately. For some people, they find Christmas a very hard time. It's a time when their loneliness strikes or bad memories come back to haunt them. And that's such a shame because really the heart of the Christmas message is especially for those people who might want to just kind of cower in their homes and pull the sheets over their heads rather than come out to church and hear the good news. Because the message of Christmas is good news. But let's face it, we live in a broken world. The hope Christmas brings can change all of that, though. Last year, St John's, together with churches across Suffolk, embarked on a project called Who Cares? And Who Cares was very simple. We wanted to go out and just ask people a simple question. What hurts the most? Or what in life do you find hard to handle? And the idea was to simply listen. We wanted to know where our community was hurting. We wanted to know what their perceived needs were. And the results we got in were very interesting. I'm going to just share three of the top answers we got. And for West Suffolk particularly, the top answer was a lack of justice and peace. People seem to be very, very concerned about how there's just not enough justice in the world. They complained about the wars they see on the television all the time, the increase in crime and antisocial behaviour. They talked about how they wanted to see justice and peace reign. So that was top of the list. Also very high, I've called it brokenness and sin. That's probably not the words they used, but we got a lot of people saying how distressed they were by falling out with other people, family members, friends. And we all know somebody who is, you know, sort of wracked with guilt for saying the wrong thing to somebody. That is, they've done a sin and now there is irreparable damage. Or perhaps they've been the recipient and there's broken relationships. Or they feel broken or they feel guilty. So brokenness and sin was also very, very high. And then particularly for certainly for slightly older people, loneliness was a big one. For younger people, it was emptiness. So particularly if you think about people who are bereaved, they can feel so much loneliness. The younger people, though, seem to be saying there's a feeling of emptiness. They just don't know what the meaning in life is. And they look at their prospects in this day and age, and they wonder if there are any. So these issues are very, very concerning. And why do I highlight them this evening? Well, it's because I truly believe that the message of Christmas speaks into each one of these. And in a moment, I'm going to highlight three names of Jesus that the angels give to him. And I'm going to show you how each of those names or titles has a meaning associated with it that speaks straight into each one of these. But just before I do that, I'm going to just show you a picture of somebody. And I did debate with myself, because I know there's some youngsters here, whether to show this tonight, because it's a bit of a stark photograph. It's a very famous photograph from the Vietnam War. 1972, it won the Pulitzer Prize. So I'm just going to bring it up for a moment. And it is very traumatic. I just want to speak about that girl in the middle. Her name is Phan Thi Kim Phuc, or just Kim, we'll call her. I'm going to take it off because this is her now looking far better. That girl is also known as Napalm Girl because what happened is she was travelling with a whole group of civilians and there was an American aircraft going over. Now, those aircraft in the Vietnam War carried napalm. I personally think that's immoral. I think that's something you shouldn't drop on your worst enemy. But this is what war does. Unfortunately, the pilot got it wrong. He looked down and thought, there's the enemy. I better drop this napalm. And he hit those civilians, and it's a very famous photograph because that poor girl, 9 years old, in agony from all the burning. And of course it didn't stop there. There was the pain of that. They tried to douse her with water, but that increased the burning. She has spent many years in hospitals trying to get those scars and burns sorted out, and it's been painful. She's been in agony. It's also meant that she's been unable to sweat. Now, if you can't sweat in Vietnam, you just overheat, and it's very, very painful. So for Kim, you see, these three issues have hit her far more than they could ever hit us. First of all, she has really struggled with the sense of justice. Why should this sort of thing happen to a 9-year-old girl? Why should this sort of thing happen to anybody, she's thought? And why is there therefore war and people doing such awful things? Why is there evil, injustice and cruelty? And can't somebody do something about it? She struggled with her own brokenness. First of all, the sin that's been done to her, and she now feels broken. But also she's felt guilty because in the early years, she found it impossible to come to peace and forgive those who had done this atrocity to her, even though it was an accident. Thirdly, she struggled with loneliness big time. She's been shunned by people because of her scars. She looks a lot better now. She's fantastic now. But for years she had these awful scars and people were shunned. She struggled with meaning in life. She looked for an answer in religion. She looked in her own religion, which is called Khao Dai. Could not find the answers there. One day she was in a library in Saigon. She was going through all the religions on the bookshelf and none of them could answer her suffering. And then she found, packed between two books on religions of the Far East, a New Testament, the second part of the Bible. She pulled it out and she started reading through the gospel accounts of the life of Jesus. And she thought, here's somebody who is different. He has an answer. Not like these other religions. And he claims to be the only way to God. He claims to be the way, the truth, and the life. And he claims to give hope. And so she starts to encounter the three names I'm going to share with you now. And those three names brought hope to her. And at Christmas time in 1982, she gave her life to the Lord Jesus. He gave her peace and started to heal her. But more on that in a moment. I want to come to the three titles of The Baby in the Manger. I said four there, I was going to do four, but I went down to three. One, Christ. Christ is not a surname. Christ is a title. It's a Greek word and it means king. God's king, an anointed king. In Hebrew, the word is Messiah. So this Christ, this Messiah, is the promised king of God. And the angels announce Jesus as the Christ. Was it they say to the shepherds? Today in the town of Bethlehem, a saviour is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The excitement of the first Christmas is there is a newborn king. And our second reading from Isaiah speaks of that. Unto us a son is born. And the reading goes on to explain the credentials of this king. This is about 700 years before the king was born. But it looks forward to the time when this king will come and he will rule in total justice. His kingdom will be everlasting and he will bring peace. He's called the Prince of Peace. And his name is also Jesus. What a powerful name. Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus the King. You see, it's a wonderful message because when we yearn for justice, we just have to look to the true King of the universe and realise that he is doing something about it. One day he's going to return and his kingdom will be established forever. And in that day there will be no more pain or suffering and there will be total justice. In the meantime, he calls his followers to start working for his kingdom now. It's why in the Lord's Prayer we pray, "Thy kingdom come." And that often means we, Christians, have to get off our bottoms and do something about it. Down the centuries, many Christians have done that. William Wilberforce worked hard for most of his life, but he won through and abolished the slave trade. Terry Waite, Remember Terry Waite? What a wonderful man, working for peace in the Middle East. Mother Teresa, working with the poor in Calcutta, bringing justice and hope into dark places. Because when people follow Jesus, they come to know his peace and justice, and they want to share it and bring it on earth. But the final fulfillment, we await till when Jesus returns. But what a great day that will be. There is hope. What about the second name of Jesus this evening? Well, it is actually his Christian name, Jesus. In our reading from Matthew, the angel explains what it means. Well, the word means Saviour. Why is he to be called Jesus? Because he will save people from their sins. Jesus came to grow up and to die on a wooden cross at the age of about 30 or 33. And when he died on the cross, he said, "I'm doing this to take away all the sins of the world so that you can be forgiven." If you're here this morning, Richard Webb, our retired vicar here, he spoke powerfully about how we have all fallen short of God's standards. We all sin. But Jesus came to pay the punishment for us. Because wrongdoing requires punishment. But Jesus took the punishment we deserve on himself. And if we turn to Jesus, we can be forgiven our sins and know peace. And we can start to feel healingness in our brokenness. Brokenness occurs in relationships as we treat each other badly. People who have known brokenness, such as our friend Kim, have come to know their sins forgiven and their brokenness healed by giving their lives to Jesus. So Jesus was born at Christmas to sort the brokenness and the sin out. There can be forgiveness of sins. There is hope for a better way. There can be healing for our brokenness. Kim discovered that. She became a Christian on Christmas Eve in 1982. And she says the next morning she woke up with this amazing feeling of peace. And she then found, over time, she was able to forgive the people who bombed Vietnam and dropped that napalm on her. The transforming power of the name of Jesus is absolutely stunning. This is the message of Christmas. And the third title is Emmanuel, also what the angel says to Joseph. The baby in the manger will be called Emmanuel, who is God with us. So in Jesus we have the God who draws close to us. In Jesus God became a human person. He did that so he could make God known to us. He did that so he could share with us. And he knows what it is to be human so he can sympathize with us. He came as a human being so he could die for our sins. But he also came so he could draw close to us. And now he's in heaven, he can still draw close to us through the Holy Spirit, his Spirit. When somebody becomes a Christian, the Spirit of Jesus comes into their life to be with them forever. And that means we don't have to have that horrible feeling of loneliness anymore. It means we don't have to have that feeling of emptiness and thinking that life is meaningless anymore. We can know that transforming power that is in the name of Jesus, having a relationship with the eternal God. And what's great as well is when people become Christians, they often find a new family in the church. The church is called the family of God. And people who come to church often say, "I'm so glad I come here because I was lonely at home, but I've got a new family." Jesus is the hope for all of these things. So our friend Kim was in church on Christmas Eve in 1982, and she'd done a lot of thinking by this stage about Christianity and about the Lord Jesus. But then that evening the pastor was explaining something that's similar to what's on our banner out there. Christmas is not about the presents we give each other, nice as that may be. Christmas is about the gift of the Son. Unto us a Son is given. He's the real gift of Christmas. In him we can find meaningful life, justice and peace. We can be saved from our brokenness and our sin. We can be saved from loneliness and a meaningless life. And as I say, Kim, you saw the picture of her now, smiling. She enjoys meaningful relationships in her church. She enjoys a wonderful relationship with her Saviour Jesus. She's been able to forgive, and she works for justice, and she looks forward to the time when Jesus returns and makes justice for all a complete reality. The thing about a gift, though, is what do you do with it? You can leave it there, unwrapped. I don't think any of us do that on Christmas Day, certainly not the children. They can't wait to rip off the paper. The gift of Jesus sits there, wrapped up. It's up to us to take hold of the gift, unwrap it. And if we do, we can encounter all of these wonderful things. And like him, we can have our lives transformed. I'm going to say a prayer now, just inviting you to do that. And if you'd like to find out more, there are some copies of John's Gospel at the back. They're free. Please do take one and read more about Jesus or have a conversation with me. I'm going to say a prayer. And if you just want to say to the Lord Jesus, I want you to be in my life, healing my brokenness, forgiving me and giving my life meaning, taking away the loneliness, well then, echo the prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into the world. You know what it's like to be a human being. You draw close to us and you promise forgiveness of sins, perfect justice and healing for brokenness. Lord, this evening I invite you into my life. Take away my sin. Bring your healing power upon me. May we have a relationship that takes away my loneliness. And help me to grow day by day from now on in a relationship with you and working for justice and peace. Come into my life by your Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.